There are more than 7 billion living on this planet. It's estimated that some 3 to 7% of the population ages 3 through 17 lives with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
That's why today on Real Family Talk, we're going to talk about ADHD, as it's called, and how it impacts our lives, our schools, and our families.
Welcome to Real Family Talk. I'm Willie Oliver.
And I'm Elaine Oliver.
This is a program about strengthening families and inspiring hope.
It gives us a place to talk about family dynamics and share tools to strengthen our marriages and families.
I often like to say when we have strong marriages, we're more likely to have strong families, strong churches, and strong communities.
Well, did you know that the Centers for Disease Control reports that in the United States alone, 5.2 million children ages 3 to 17 have been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder?
That percentage increased 22% from 2003 to 2007 in just 4 years. Boys seem to be diagnosed more than girls. In the United States, as of 2012, for example, 11.2% of boys have been diagnosed and 5.5% girls have been diagnosed with ADHD. Wow.
So more boys.
More boys.
Than girls. And it's a difficult thing because actually boys have a tendency to be more hyper anyway.
So I'm wondering if the diagnosis has something to do with the fact that they're just naturally more hyperactive, or is it really that they are hyperactive?
Well, some of them are, and there's certain criteria that's used to ascertain whether or not it's just normal activity or if it's hyperactivity.
Yes.
You know, it's really interesting as we talk about it being boys, more boys than girls. You know, when we were raising our children, when they were very little, we used to say we wanted to raise our children exactly the same, right? Sort of without regard to gender.
Oh, you mean know, just given an opportunity to explore themselves?
Yeah,
and to be themselves.
So our daughter would play with trucks, and, you know, we were really never able to convince our son to play with dolls. And
well, I wasn't trying to get him to play with
dolls. This is true, right.
He had the option to do that.
Exactly, yeah. But there was something that was very different about him. And I was just speaking with my mom about this the other day, that she was just saying that when he was born, even though Jessica was very much a tomboy, he would have, like, little sticks in his pockets.
You mean like Julian?
You know, yeah, our son, Julian, you know, he would have sticks and stones in his pocket that he would collect.
Insects and stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of, you know, strange little things that identified him
as a boy. So different.
And, yeah, so they're very different. And so sometimes we have to be careful that we don't say this child is ADHD when they're doing their normal developmental tasks.
Well, that's why we have professionals to do the testing and to ascertain what's going on. You know, this whole issue that we're going to be talking about today is very important. And it's one that parents need to be mindful of. And it's just the kind of thing that needs to be dealt with and not handled all by yourself.
Yeah. The important thing that you said just now, too, is the testing. And if we can say anything to parents, is to not be afraid to have your children tested.
Yes.
And too often, parents are reluctant to have their children tested for many reasons. And we'll talk about that more later on the show and how parents can get help for their children and not feel that they're labeling their child or something like that. So it doesn't seem to matter where you live. Studies show that ADHD is real, and it doesn't discriminate. So next on Real Family Talk, we're going to learn all we can about it.
Today on Real Family Talk, we want to learn all we can about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So we've invited Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick, a good friend, a wife, a parent, a board-certified adult child and addiction psychiatrist who practices in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome,
Jude.
Welcome.
Thank you
for having
me.
So good to have you.
Thank you.
So we're talking about ADHD. So tell us a little bit more about ADHD. I know that at one point we used to hear ADD and ADHD. Tell us, like, what the difference is and all that.
Well, ADD and ADHD is the same thing. It's just as each new reiteration of the disorder comes out in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatrists, they sort of make improvements. In the past, it was ADD, attention deficit disorder.
Okay.
Today, it is known as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and there are three components to it.
Okay.
Now, we have a fifth book coming out soon, so that may change soon.
Who knows what it will have?
Who knows what will happen?
Right. So tell us the three components, then, of ADHD.
Attention deficit disorder, before I get to that, people are always wondering, what is it?
Yes.
And where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We don't know why kids have it. Research has been done on it, and we know that there are several components, like many illnesses, that could lead to this. Genetics being one. Environment, we know that parents who smoke, do drugs, drink, have a higher incidence of ADHD. Brain trauma, possible nutrition. We don't know for sure.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that everyone who has a child who is ADHD drinks or smokes or any of that.
No. Absolutely not. We just know that for the most part, it could be genetics, but it could other factors could be involved. There are three components to attention deficit disorder. There is hyperactivity, impulsivity, and inattention.
Mm-hmm. All right. So unpack that.
Unpack that.
Yeah, because it's important, right, for our families to understand. So if your child is diagnosed with ADHD, they would have one or all three of those things?
They could possibly have one, two.
One or two.
Or
okay.
All three.
Right.
So today we say everyone is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is a very common mental health disorder in children.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is parents will come to me and I'll say, your child has ADHD. Oh, no. They
right.
can't have ADHD because they're not hyper. And so then I have to break it down.
Exactly.
This is what it is. There are three components to it. The ones who fall through the crack, for the most part, are the kids who have inattention.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not disruptive. They're right. not coming out of their seat. They're not making noise. They're not chattering. They're not bothering people. They're not touching people. They're just quiet.
Right.
Okay.
And they sit there and they look like they're paying attention, but they're looking out
they're
the window.
They're daydreamers.
They're daydreaming.
So tell me about the ages. At what ages do you see this manifested, and how can we identify? How can parents be clued in that this is happening or may be happening?
Yeah, how would a parent know that their child is daydreaming?
Well, many times a parent won't know, particularly if it's an only child, because children who are only children that have undivided attention from their parents,
yes.
well, they get one-on-one attention.
Yes.
And so a parent will more than likely think, well, my child is full of energy, and this is normal for my child to be full of energy. Many times a parent does not know there's a problem until that child gets to school. For the most part, the majority of children who are diagnosed with ADHD are sent to us because there is a problem in either daycare or kindergarten, where a child is expected to behave in a certain way and they're not behaving in the norm, so
they're outside of the norm.
They're outside of the box.
Yes.
And so there's a problem.
Yes.
And so parents get called. Johnny is talking too much. Johnny won't sit still. Johnny isn't completing work. Johnny isn't writing things down from the board. Johnny is bothering other kids.
Yes.
Johnny's not waiting their turn. Johnny is talking too much. Johnny is interrupting, okay. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So these are all symptoms?
These are all symptoms.
Okay.
For the most part, the hyperactivity and the disruptive symptoms is more easily seen and most commonly seen in boys because boys tend to talk more
right.
and be more
and rambunctious. A little more hyper.
They're being boys.
Right. Right. So how do you distinguish then? How do you differentiate between, oh, this is just being a boy to being, he's
ADHD.
Hyperactive? Yes.
Well, there are a lot of kids who are hyper, and not every hyper child is ADHD.
Right.
And I think it's very important that you know that.
So how do we know? How does a parent know?
And again, the parent will know, and the easiest way to know is, when it's time to do what you are supposed to do, can you sit and do it?
Okay.
Okay.
That's excellent.
Yes.
And if you can't, there is a problem.
So tell me what's happening in the brain of children who have ADHD.
I like to put it as this. The brain of a child with ADHD, for the most part, is a normal brain. But they're younger than their counterparts. Okay. Their brains are not fully developed. They're good brains, they're smart brains, but it takes a little more time to mature. And the part of the brain that matures a little slower is the frontal part. We call the prefrontal.
Yes.
And that's where you make
judgment.
Good yeah. decisions and you have judgments.
Yes. Right.
They will catch up, but yeah. not at the time. So a five-year-old is really like a two- or three-year-old.
Wow.
When they're in kindergarten and the other kids are sitting on their mats and doing all the little things they're supposed to do, and this other little child is all around the classroom doing their own thing.
Okay. Wow. That's really important then for parents to understand, because, you know, sometimes we try to push our children. So you might have an ADHD child who's very bright, because it doesn't preclude them from being smart, right? But they may not yet be ready.
Or mature.
Or mature enough to sit in
activity.
A kindergarten
yes.
classroom.
Yes.
And so we need to be cautious about pushing our children, right? Because there's some families that say, oh, my kid is smart, she can read, but she may not be socially ready
yes.
for
and
the classroom.
This is what is very difficult for parents as well. They don't want to hear my child is ADHD because
yes.
they feel that there's something wrong with my child. And they say, my child is smart. And ADHD and smartness are not the same thing.
But tell me something, because in the school system, some parents felt that their child was labeled. And once you're labeled, you're sent down a different track. And so they are concerned. What would you say to parents like that?
And I think that's a good concern. And what I say to parents is you have to make sure what it is. Because, again, not every child who's having difficulty in the classroom is attention deficit. A child could have a learning disability.
Okay.
A child could be having problems at home. Okay. There could be many other reasons why that child is hyperactive. Mm-hmm. And having a mental health professional take a look at it will make all the difference in the world.
All right. But that is the key, especially in the Christian community. I mean, just in the community at large. I think when we say mental health, now, mind you, those of us who are in mental health fields, we understand mental health is a good thing, you know? But as soon as we hear those words, mental health, it kind of scares people, doesn't it?
It's a social stigma.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that's true, because even in the school situation, if you say someone has ADHD, they automatically think, well, that child needs special education. Not necessarily the case.
And that's what you were alluding to,
absolutely.
Is that sometimes parents are scared
right.
because you may suddenly...
To special education.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. And that is absolutely not the case.
Okay.
I have kids in my practice who are ADHD who are at Johns Hopkins University. Quite
okay.
smart.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Well, you know what? This has been wonderful what you've been saying, but there's more to learn about ADHD. So after the break, we'll continue talking with Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Real Family Talk. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So today, we're trying to get some understanding about ADHD. We're talking with Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick, a child psychiatrist, to help us explore and understand this topic further. So we were talking about, in general, ADHD, and we're talking about families being able to identify that their children have it. And oftentimes, it's the school system that might help them identify. So one
Correct.
Of the things that I just want to reiterate is that families should not be reluctant to get help. I've just seen so many families who wait until their child is 15 or 16, and then it becomes problematic. So I guess, would you say that if your teacher says, you know, go speak to a mental health professional, what do you think families should do? And what counsel do you have for them?
I think it's important to find out what's wrong. It may be ADHD, it may be something else. But the reality of it is just as our somatic bodies get ill, our minds can also get ill.
Mm-hmm.
And just as our somatic bodies can be healed, our minds can be healed. And I think that the fear that something could be wrong with our minds stops people from getting the help from their children.
Right.
I think the other part of the reluctance is that as parents, we want our children to be perfect.
Yeah.
And as some friends once told me, you have to learn to parent the child you have and not parent the child you wish
want.
You had.
Right.
And so you have to fix the problem. And if there is a problem, you won't know what that problem is. So the first step is seek guidance. Go to your pediatrician if it's a young child. And the
right.
pediatrician is the first step. It's the open door. It's the primary care physician
yes.
who will say, this is what I recommend. Sometimes the pediatrician can fix it. They can identify it, they can diagnose it.
Yes.
Most times, if the pediatrician can't, they will send the child to a psychiatrist. And then we can take it a step further. And we look into it. There was a young child I had of 6 years old that was always falling asleep at his desk. The parents thought that something was wrong. Absolutely, there was something wrong. The child was staying up until 11 o'clock looking at wrestling. So it was not...
Oh, this child had a television in his room.
Well, that's an easy one to fix, right?
This is more a parent problem than a child problem. Why is a six-year-old having a television set
in his room? And looking at wrestling until 11 o'clock.
Right.
So, no boundaries.
That's such an excellent point, right? So, you know, we're scared to go. Meanwhile, this child is going to be like 21 and still watching wrestling till 2
Correct.
In the morning.
And just because a child goes to counseling or therapy or to a psychiatrist, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong.
That's right.
But you can identify it. And I think this is the reason why. There's an impact on the child if you don't. There's an impact on the family if you don't. There's an impact on the community at large.
So, speaking about that, tell us about some of the struggles, some of the real struggles that parents of ADHD children are having.
The parents feel like they have failed. Yeah. There's a lot of anger, there's a lot of recrimination because nothing they have done to help this child or to discipline this child has worked.
Do you find that sometimes there's blaming between the spouses?
Absolutely.
It came from your side of the family because nobody in my family is like this.
And you don't discipline right. And if you discipline the way I disciplined or you gave the consequences that I think they should have, this would work.
So
and
this
both of
an
them
even,
have failed and it's not fixing
so you're
it.
Saying,
so it becomes an even bigger crisis.
Yeah,
it becomes a family crisis, a marriage crisis, parenting crisis.
Or the other children are good and this is the black sheep.
Yes.
Why can't you do what the other children are doing?
Yes.
Or the other children are all A's and you aren't. So the impact on the child is many of the kids come to me not for ADHD, but because of depression and school refusal and anxiety. Because going to school and trying to pass and trying to do well, they've done the best they can and it's not working, so they give up.
Well, so you would say then that the sooner you get help, you can avoid some of these other co-occurring disorders, right? Because you're saying now this kid started out perhaps with ADHD. Now there's anxiety. Now there's depression that this child is dealing with.
Correct.
So how does a family then, what tips do you have for a family to help them cope with having a child with ADHD? Because it's a family problem.
It is a family problem.
It's not just a child.
It's a child, it's a school, it's a family. And if you want your child to succeed, everybody has to be on the same page and everybody has to partner. It takes a village.
Yes.
And Hillary Clinton said that.
We said a child, a parent, school. What about the church? Where does the church fit into this?
Well, I think that the church is a little behind the times on recognizing things in mental health, but they're making a lot of progress.
Yes.
But they don't always see it for what it is. And we tend to label that child as incorrigible or a bad kid.
Or
disruptive.
Exactly. And they're not allowed to come to Sabbath school.
And they're not allowed to come to Sabbath school. Or they're the ones making problems when they go to
Pathfinders.
And we don't want them on Campery because they're accident prone and they're not following directions and they're not listening and they're trouble. And then again, that has an impact. A lot of children with ADHD have very low self-esteem because they have to work harder and try harder. So for the parents, I think the first thing you need to do is make sure you get that child evaluated and have an open mind that if the physician says this is what it is, seek treatment.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, it may mean therapy, it may mean medication, it may mean therapy, medication, and working with the school.
Okay.
But you have to partner with that child to make that child successful and not let them think it's my fault. For the child, you have to help them. And because if they are medicated, that's just the first step. That's not the last step.
Right.
It's working with the school, working with the teacher, and setting some guidelines for the family, such as consistency, being on the same page with consequences, praise for the child when they do something right, appropriate consequences when they do something wrong. Help them see that this is not something that they have to live with the rest of their life. They may grow out of it, they may not, but they can still be successful with appropriate treatment.
So I have a question. How can you help a family to maintain a healthy family unit while they're dealing with all of these traumas and difficulties?
I think a parent education is the key.
Yes.
If a parent, and I tell my parents this, get on the computer, read about ADHD. So that when a child, if you have to tell a child something over and over and over again, it's not that the child is deliberately tuning you out. Understand that this is part of their disorder, just like when a child has a broken leg, they need to walk with a crutch.
Yes.
You
right.
have to understand what they're facing. You have to have patience and prayer. Prayer is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Pray for patience.
Prayer, absolutely.
Prayer is a good thing.
Absolutely.
But working together, partnering with that child and letting them know, I understand this is difficult for you.
I love that word, partnering with your child.
Correct.
So you're on the same team.
Correct.
And I imagine that if a child feels that they're on a team with their parent,
correct.
And that's just in parenting, that's parenting in general.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right? But especially this, because you're saying that they have low self-esteem.
Correct.
So what ends up happening, I suspect, is that there's this antagonistic
correct.
Type of relationship, and the kid feels even less than, is it appropriate to say more less than?
Right.
You know, even lesser than.
I saw a young lady today who is in college, beautiful young lady, ADHD, struggling with self-esteem issues because she's always had to work harder to be social, to get the grades, to do whatever, but she's successful. But she is now beginning to see, this is fixable, I'm okay, I have a social life, my grades are better, and she feels better about herself because finally she solved the puzzle of what was wrong and got treatment.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much for what you've been sharing. Today we've been talking with Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick about ADHD. When we come back, we'll give you today's takeaway. Stay with us.
Today we've been talking about ADHD, and we're so grateful to have Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick helping us to understand how it impacts our families and how to work through it.
Well, you know, it's a big help when you can identify what's happening and do something constructive. What are some of the things that you would suggest to parents, beyond what you've already mentioned, that they can do, that they can position themselves in partnership with their children?
I think that if parents can take that step, get their child evaluated,
yes.
partner with their physician if the child needs to be treated, if the child needs to have therapy, counseling, work with the school to make sure that the school is on board, that the teachers understand, because many teachers don't.
Right.
Educate the teachers when you have your parent teacher be there, and check up on your child often so that they don't get themselves into a cycle of failure. Find out if their homework is done,
right.
if they're studying for their classes. I hate to say it, but with an ADHD child, when the child is in school, you're in school.
Okay.
right.
There is no question.
Okay. Right.
So it's a
right.
completely different ball game when you're parenting an ADHD child.
Absolutely.
You have to be on it.
You have to be
You
on
have
it.
To stay on it.
Because remember, that child is not the age that you think that child is.
Right.
Right.
And even when they come into teens and they want to have that independence, I caution parents because a 16-year-old child who wants to drive is really a 13-year-old brain.
Mm.
And they're not able to make the wise decisions. And that's very, very hard for them to understand
I mean,
and
it's
appreciate.
It's already scary with 16-year-olds driving. I'm
Correct.
Sorry, no offense.
Yes.
But, you know, so imagine, like you're saying, an ADHD child, which would be actually more of a younger adolescent. So it's
Correct.
Almost a child that's just entering into adolescence.
And as they're coming into puberty and they're open to peer pressure,
yes.
a 16-year-old child might be able to make better decisions about what to do, what not to do,
yes.
but a 16-year-old ADHD child may not have those skills.
Right.
And so it requires a lot more parenting effort, and this is the time a lot of times parents feel we need to step back and let our child make decisions.
But it's not.
And you're saying this is not
this is
the
not
time.
The time.
Not
this is
this
not
child.
The time.
Not with this child.
You can't just you know, wish that you had a different child. This
No.
is the child that you have. So parent this child.
Right.
And it is a little more difficult for them because they want to be independent, but they may not be
Yeah,
ready.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. So how do you help parents to put those boundaries for that child? Because it has to be difficult for the child when all their friends,
Correct.
Maybe even their older sibling, got their driver's license at age 16. You know, what do you recommend for parents in
You
setting that boundary.
I feel like you can incentivize it.
Okay.
And you give them a goal to reach. and say, if I can see this kind of behavior for this length of time, right, then you can have
excellent
X, Y, and Z.
So I'm hearing you say that you have to acknowledge the difference.
Yes.
And you have to talk through with them,
yes,
about the difference.
Correct.
So that they can accept themselves and recognize what they're dealing
and
with.
And be honest with them and not have them feel that it's punitive.
Yeah, so you're normalizing the difference,
correct,
in essence.
Correct.
You're saying, you're not your older sibling. Here's what we're dealing with.
Correct.
You know, we have different issues that we deal with. But I love the idea of the incentives. So you're saying then that even an ADHD child can set goals and meet them.
Correct.
Because then sometimes I see the other side of the spectrum, which is, well, my kid's ADHD, you know, they can't accomplish anything. So we're actually doing more harm if
Absolutely.
We don't set boundaries.
An ADHD child is bright, and they will do extremely well with the things they love. Mm. But you have to push them to do the things that they don't love. So if they want to drive, you set that goal. If I see that you can be consistent and you can keep your grades up, then maybe we can discuss having you start to take driving lessons, and we take it step by step and incentivize them and let them prove that they can because they feel they're ready. Well, I'm not seeing this. Help me see this. And
Excellent.
Let them and just guide them through that process. Many times they come to that realization that it's not quite the time.
Well, that's all for today's Real Family Talk. We've been talking with Dr. Jude Boyer-Patrick about ADHD and how to handle that. We're hoping that you've learned something. And if you have friends or you have children that are dealing with these issues, you'll be able to do an even better job. And that's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.